Good morning. I'm so excited to be up here, if you can't tell. We serve a risen Savior. We sung about His love this morning, that it will never fail. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. You name it, it ain't happening. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And this morning, He desires to pour His Spirit out upon you and in you and through you, that His love would be manifested in you, that you can take it to this world that's lost in darkness. Have you guys seen any more confusion in this world than you've ever seen in your life? I mean, we don't even know who we are sometimes, do we? I know who I am. You know who you are, but some of them out there don't even know who they are. Why? It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for every believer to begin to live what they know this book says to live. You know, we took this book out of schools. We tried to take it out of everything else that you see. And you know what? It's sad to say, but some churches are taking this book out of their congregations. My Bible tells me that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And He said, when I speak it, it will come to pass. What God has shut the door, no man will open. And when God opens a door, no man can close it. And the Bible tells me that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. I'm going to say it again. The Bible tells me that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. The devil knows he's defeated, but he doesn't want you to know that. He does not want you to know what Jesus Christ has done for you. Many of us believe and understand and know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And without that being done, there was no way that we could come to the Father. But He doesn't want you to go any further. There's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. He's risen. Muhammad never rose. Buddha never rose. Their bones are still in the grave. There's only one that rose, and there's only one that can take us to heaven. And His name is Jesus. This word is the most precious thing that you have. It's far more valuable than silver and gold. It is the most valuable thing you have. I am concerned. I see in my business, my occupation, I pick up what everybody else throws away. And you will be amazed at how many times I see this in the trash. I ask my wife. I don't let them go, do I? I can't stand it. I urge you. I plead with you. Make this number one priority in your life. Number one priority. You want answers in your life? It's right here. Your marriage is in trouble? Your answers are right here. You've got addictions in your life? The answer's right here. It's all right here. If you go searching somewhere else for it, you're going to come up empty. But I promise you, the answer is right here. And I'm going to try to share some of that with you this morning. I hope I can make this clear. I hope my goal, my purpose, is that when you leave this place, you will not be the same as you came in. That is my purpose and goal this morning. Romans 6:23 tells us what? Help me out. Anybody know it? 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about what has been spoken there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way you're going to be freed from sin. That's through Jesus. Your works are not going to do it. Coming to the church is not going to do it. Giving your offerings is not going to do it. Playing in the worship team is not going to do it. Anything you can think of is not going to do it. There's only one thing. It's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. The world's saying there's a lot of ways you can get to heaven. There's only one way. If I was going to name this sermon this morning, I would name it. I got two titles for you. So if you don't like one, you can have the other. God's favorite instrument. If you don't like that one, God's instrument of choice. God's instrument of choice. As you notice, I've got something up here for you that pay attention when you come in. I've got all kinds of things up here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. If you have your phone and that's what you use, I'd like for you to do me a favor. As I give my phone to my wife, turn that off, please. I was going to use it for a clock, but there's a clock back there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot disown himself. So read on a little bit. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. And then he talks about a couple of people that have done this and what they've done. They said, there is no resurrection. That's how the false teachings begin. One little thing, boom. Folks, there's a resurrection. And there's going to be a resurrection for you and me. And the Bible tells me that it was going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. And when that day comes and it happens in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us that are still here on earth, we're going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. That's the hope that we have, and that's the truth that we have, because Jesus says, I am the truth, the life, and the way. There is none. No one comes to the Father but me. He's the way, he's the truth, and this word is the truth. I don't know why I'm pushing on this morning. Somebody in here is struggling, believing this is the inspired word of God. I'm here to tell you, this is the inspired word of God. And he may have more, but we can't handle this. But this is the inspired word of God. In our home, nothing gets put on this Bible. Right, honey? My wife, very adamant. We accidentally will stick something. You know, you got to stack a book. This Nothing gets stacked on this. Only a Bible can be stacked on this Bible. Nothing else. This is precious. This is Jesus. But he was manifested in the flesh, the Bible tells us. Let me jump down to verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. See, we've got a false teaching out here. All you got to do is confess your sins. All you got to do is believe. There's a little more to it than that. My Bible tells me you got to turn away. It's called repent from your sins. My Bible tells me that old things are passed away, all things become new. My Bible tells me that you must be born again. There's a lot of people saying, I believe Jesus, but their actions are far from it. There's a reason for that. I ask the question, are you truly born again? I know I've been born again. I know the day that it happened. I can tell you the events that happened before that. I can tell you everything about it. And if I told you what happened when I give my heart to the Lord that night, some of you would not believe it. If you're interested, I would be glad to share that with you. But I'm going to tell you, it changed my life. My sins were washed away. And I knew it. I was no longer the same person. I knew immediately I was no longer the same person. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments of special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I've got some things out here, and we're going to have communion today. We're going to talk about that a little bit too here. But we're having communion to remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And to remember his body was broken for us until he comes back. We're to do this in remembrance. These items out here represent something, and I'm going to call them instruments. And as this scripture tells us, there's two types of instruments in the house. And all these items come from God's house right now, believe it or not. Everything I've got here is from this place. And you guys notice the communion. Silver. I don't know if it's true silver, but it looks silver, okay? Let's just pretend it's real silver for the illustration. And what's in it is a representation of what we believe. That Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. We believe this. And we take that in remembrance. I would call these very important, would you not? For a special purpose. Now these items, I call them common items. A spoon that has holes in it. How can you eat with this, John? I don't know. Everything falls out. Now this is a little bit better. This you can do something with, okay? You guys know what these are. Some of these are disposable. You use them a few times, throw them away, which that's where our world is today. Every one of these has a purpose. But it's not like this. Okay? Y'all know what this is? Ice scoop. Be better if it's an ice cream scoop, but it's an ice scoop. Okay? I guess we could use it for an ice cream scoop, can't we? Okay. Then we got disposable cups. We got these cups, glasses that if the president showed up, we probably wouldn't use these, would we? Nah. If Jesus showed up, we probably definitely wouldn't use these, would we? Then I got this. They asked me if I was cooking up something this morning. I said, yeah. This can be used for a lot of things. But it's supposed to be used for probably cooking. But some guys in here would love to use this to change your oil in. Okay? The handle, slide it right out. Works really good. Now it's going to disappear. Sorry. But if you look inside of it, uh-oh. See, there's another instrument I just about tore up. It's not brand new. It's used. Then I have these items. You guys know what these are for, don't you? What'd you say? A giant. It's actually a paper towel, okay? Don't know where you're going. It's actually a paper towel. You can use it for that, I'm sure. That's why we got this. All these are instruments. I got these. You all know what these are. We had a hard time finding these for some reason. But we could find these pretty quick. Okay? To protect us. You know, they got their purpose. And then we got one more thing here I want to share with you. I don't want you to ever forget this today, because you have a choice. You have a choice before you leave today. Walmart bag. Everybody uses those, don't they? This was in the bathroom back there. Anybody know what this is for? Should I explain it? Huh? When your toilet is clogged up, this is what you got to use to unclog it. I'm talking about big time clog. Okay? I couldn't find the plunger. Maybe we don't have one. I don't know. Your sinks get clogged up. Use this. This is the waste part. This is the bad area. Nobody wants to use this. In fact, when I got it out, it was like, I hope we don't have to use that today. These are instruments. As you notice, I put these on before I use that. And there's a proper way of taking them off, too, by the way. Some of these are throwaways. Some of you wash and use over and over. But these are instruments. The Bible tells us you have a choice. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Ed gave us a great sermon the other day of how there's therefore no condemnation those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Who not walk after the spirit, or who not walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's important you know that. You can't just read half the scripture. There's a reason. Satan used half scriptures. He's good at that. He knows this word. He knows this word in and out. He used it against Jesus. And he likes to give half scriptures. Because you know, half the truth is what? It's more than just half the truth. Half the truth is what? A lie. End of story. He's a father of lies, and he's lied to you and me. He will continue to try to lie. His purpose is to deceive us, to destroy us. He'd love to destroy this place, And I'm not talking about the building. Some of us would like the building to be destroyed and have something better here. But that's not what he's talking about. We are the church. We are the church, and he'd like to destroy each and every one of us. And he's working on it each and every day. Each and every day. And he wants to destroy us. But see, my Bible tells me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, he don't want you to know that. So he's going to give you a half-truth. There's no condemnation, those in Christ Jesus. It's a little more to it. That walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So let's look at Romans 6. I really would like to read chapter 5 and 6, but I'm not going to. You guys need to read this. I'm telling you. Put it in your notes right now. I need to read 5 and 6 here. And once you start there, you may not stop because it's revolutionary. It will change your life. It will show you that the power of God not only took away your sins, but he put power in you to overcome sin and the attacks of the evil one. Let me start for the purpose of verse 18 in chapter 5. Consequently, just as one trespass results in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act results in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I need to read that again. Listen to what it really says. You know, the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to what the word of God says here. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? I need you guys to read this. I want to jump down to verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. The devil don't want you to know this, guys. He wants you to think you're still in sin. He wants you to still operate in your flesh. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. You don't have to live in sin no more, folks. Quit believing the lie. Quit believing the lie that sin has power over you if you are a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sin has power over you because you're still under the law. You don't even know about grace yet. You don't know that. You're lost in darkness. But if you are a child of God, my Bible tells me, is this what yours is saying? That sin has no power over you? Then why do we sin? Why do we sin? You choose to sin. God says you have a choice to be instruments of righteousness, or you have a choice to be instruments of wickedness. Let me put it a different way. Maybe this will help you understand. You can serve God with honor, or you can serve him with dishonor. God uses everybody in the world for his will to be done, both the righteous and the unrighteous. God uses everybody in the world for his will to be done, both righteous and unrighteous. It's all in the book. How many kings were wicked, but God used them for his will to be done? How many people in this book sinned, but God used them for his will to be done? It's your choice. Pharaoh could have let the people go, but he didn't. And God used him to show the power of God in the Israelites. Pharaoh thought, I'm going to let them go, and when they get to that river, that sea, I'm going to get them. He was mad because the power of God came into his home and his firstborn was passed away. It died because God said that's what's going to happen. So he thought, I got him. What miracle happened? The Red Sea parted. It didn't just part, folks. They crossed on dry land. You explain that to me. You can't. And when God does something in your life, there's times you can't explain it to somebody. All you can say is what we sung. He's going to do it again. We have a man over here that's holding a grandbaby. Precious. Most, especially when they sleep. She's a good girl. Satan wanted to take his life. We saw what God did in his life. Isn't God worth being praised for? Do we forget it so quickly as the children of Israel forget? As soon as they come out of the Red Sea, boy, they sang praises. But a little bit of time in the wilderness, they weren't singing praises no more. They forgot the God that they were serving. They were operating in the flesh. Turn with me. I need to turn to Hebrews 10:26. Instruments. As you're turning to that, I want you to know I'm getting this stuff out of God's Word. I'm not just getting it off of a piece of paper. That's why I chose to turn to my Bible today. Normally I write it out, but I want you to know this is from God's Word. Hebrews 10. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. but only a fearful expectation of judgment.